Cartography, Mapping Contemporary Art at the Border is a didactic exhibition that takes a look at the landscape of institutions and independent projects that shape contemporary art practices in El Paso, Juarez, and Las Cruces. Beginning with a literal map of the region in which visitors are invited to add their own points of interest, the exhibition additionally highlights the works of a select group of independent projects in the three cities that share the elements of supporting the production of new work, opening up the contemporary conversation, and creating new audiences for contemporary art. Here to tell us about it is director of the Rubin Center, Carrie Doyle. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So how did you all come up with the idea of cartography? Because you go to your website and yeah, it's a map. It's literally a map. It's kind of cool.
The Rubin Center's core mission since its founding has been to bring art and ideas from other places to the borderland. So our interaction with local artists in terms of exhibiting has been relatively minimal. But over the years, through our exhibitions and programming, we've started to develop really close relationships with artists in the community and also with our partner organizations on both sides of the border and in the region. And we started to think about how we might begin to have a more purposeful conversation with those people whose work we really admire and who often inspires the work that we do, how we might create more visibility for those spaces, how we might introduce our students to those spaces, both as platforms for their own work as they graduate or models for being artists in the community, and then to begin a conversation about how we might support those spaces and be supported by them in the future.
It makes sense. I mean, you're right. I mean, if I think about it, there's always been, or at least lately anyway, it seems like there's been some sort of local component to the exhibitions that are kind of complement what's happening in the other galleries. I remember Zeke did something, mm-hmm. you know, kind of in the gallery spaces.
Yeah.
That's been neat to see y'all develop that.
The Rubin Center is a great platform for people to see art that they wouldn't see anywhere else in El Paso.
Absolutely.
And that continues to be our core criteria for placing work and doing exhibitions in the space. However, like all, I think, contemporary museums and art spaces, we're more than just what's on the wall. We're about the kind of relationships that we're creating with other producers of art in the community, other artists and things like that. And again, part of our interest was that we're just really excited with what some of these artist-run spaces are doing. So we're looking at them and seeing examples for what we want to do in our own space with our programming. We really see the people who are running these spaces as our peers and you know, the community that we have of contemporary art here in the border landscape. So
it's been really neat to see you all roll them out, especially on social media.
Yeah.
I love that element. So you'll roll out a video of one group, and then the next week there'll be another group. And it's been really, really cool. How did you all come up with that idea?
We were originally thinking of having everyone set up in the space. And as you know, like when you're coordinating with lots of different spaces and lots of different artists, that can be really complicated. And our installation periods are often the period when we have the least amount of time to sort of really have a conversation with people or assist them. So honestly, we're thinking up front, what's a reasonable way that we can actually support people as they're doing their installations rather than having 13, you know, organizations in the space all at once.
Right.
And then also, we really do want to highlight what's happening in these spaces. And we figured if we spaced out the installations as well as these videos that we're dropping that are going to actually become part of a, you know, permanent page on our site about cartography, that it would allow people to experience them more fully and not just in a single shot, because each of the spaces is really unique and they each have a really unique proposal, unique audience. And so really trying to individualize that experience of the spaces became something important to us as we planned the exhibition.
It's really cool. And then as you see the videos, it's like you as an audience person is having that one-on-one interaction with the artist,
yeah.
which sometimes you may or may not have, you know, depending on when you go.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to all of these spaces and love all of these spaces. Some of them are projects more than spaces, but I learned something from each of the installations as well as each of the videos. They're really short videos. They're, you know, they're produced for a social media format. It's not like a fancy documentary
right.
or something like that. But just in the really casual responses that each of these artists and organizers have given, I've learned something totally new about the space. And again, also been inspired and saw connections where I didn't see them before. And so we're really happy about how that's turning out.
So you've grouped 13 total kind of groups. Let's try to go through some of them, or maybe the ones that kind of stand out in your mind, or the ones that kind of left it impressing you. You said you learned something new when you saw the spaces and when you talked to them.
Yeah, I mean, all of the spaces, in addition to the criteria you mentioned at the top of the show, all of the spaces are artist run. So each of these artists, rather than just focusing on making their own work or exhibiting their own work, has really created some sort of option for community members. So For example, you know, I think Topperweb in Juarez, which is a project rather than a space, they've been organizing conversations about contemporary art at different venues all around the city. And they were responding to an observation that there were different pockets of people making art, but they didn't often talk to one another. So they sort of pushed themselves out of their own comfort zone to meet artists that they didn't know much about and to have conversations in places they might never have visited before. So this is, again, all of the organizers of Topperweb are practicing artists, but they have made the core of their practice as an organization not to show their art or even show other people's art, but just to kind of find out what makes artists tick, to hear about people's projects in progress and to have conversations in places and with people that they wouldn't normally have. So I think that's a really exciting model. Again, it's not about producing or exhibiting or selling, but about kind of creating relationships and expanding contacts all around the city.
It's funny because you think being an artist is being comfortable in that uncomfortable space, but you're right. There are these little kind of fragmented communities that happen, and kind of by putting yourself even in a more uncomfortable space, I think you find some beauty in that, no?
Yeah, for sure. And again, even just seeing these spaces and hearing about them has pushed me out of my own comfort space. In the last couple of months, I've made an effort to really go out to more events and places that I wouldn't otherwise go. And I've become aware of things that were happening that I wouldn't have otherwise been aware of. And I consider myself to be pretty well informed about contemporary art in both places and both sides of the border.
But and you also have Camino Tattoo and Fine Art from Las Cruces. How did you come?
Yeah,
to
well,
them?
We have a relationship with Noah McDonald, who manages the space, and he was actually, interestingly, one of the reasons we started thinking about this is that he brought down a group of gallery owners from Las Cruces in the fall of last year to talk about how could they make connections with other contemporary spaces. And so saying, you know, up in Las Cruces, they feel like, you know, there are a few spaces that are really interested and concerned with promoting contemporary art and perhaps art that's maybe a little bit beyond sort of, you know, representational or landscape art or other things that you see in the region. And how could they find more spaces? And as I was making a list after their visit to the gallery, I was making a list of people I thought they should know. I thought, like, everybody should know about these people. And so, so Noah, again, is somebody who, he's not the owner of the space, but he manages the space and is really, as an artist, like looking for companionship and conversation and other models of contemporary art. So his visit was very inspirational to this project. So
how cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knew? And then in El Paso, I mean, we see Proper Print Shop, the Fab Lab, Art Avenue. Is the Unsettled Gallery here?
It's in Las Cruces, actually.
Oh,
it's also
okay.
In Las Cruces, yeah. In the El Paso art scene, I've been really heartened in the past couple of years. The three organizations that you mentioned there off the top of the beginning to think about those three organizations first, I've been really moved by the way that these independent projects have sustained themselves and grown over time, and they have totally different profiles, you know. So
yeah.
Art Avenue has a space that's really modeling itself after a traditional commercial gallery, but they've put out this fantastic publication over the years. They do a lot of educational workshops. Fab Lab is taking the Fab Lab concept, bringing it here locally and providing a spot where artists and non-artists and designers and everyday people can come in and create and connect with the technology that they have on hand. And Proper, over the last year, you know, they in the 2016 year, they did 52 shows in 52 weeks. I have no
That's
idea
insanity.
How they did that. But in doing it, they created this real appreciation for a whole range of local producers producing in different styles, and they created a real consistent, interesting audience that came back week after week, that was added to week after week, and now I think is out there wandering the world looking for more art.
So. I think so. I mean, if you have an art event that you know is guaranteed every week, you're going to want to keep wanting more.
Yeah, and it's fun and it's participatory, and again, they celebrate a wide range of artists and a wide range of image making, you know, all different formats and all different styles. So when I look at the way that these people are producing and programming, again, it inspires me and it makes me think about how we can connect to that and how we can replicate that or support that in our own work.
Which brings me to Proyecto Impala, because mm-hmm. I think they sound super interesting, and what they're doing in Juarez is pretty remarkable.
A really exceptional space. It's run by Alejandro Morales, again, another artist. He's a really great artist himself. And Alejandro was interested in responding to the fact that a lot of big name artists are producing art in Juarez and about Juarez, but those pieces are not getting circulated back to Juarez. They're shown in Mexico City, or they're shown in Europe, or they're shown in New York or LA. And so that was one of the prime impetus that he had for starting that space. He has a trailer truck, like a semi-trailer truck, that has been retrofitted to be a gallery space in a contemporary art library. Through writing people all over Latin America and the United States, he's gotten almost 2,000 art books and journals and catalogs donated to the space. And then he's putting on really fantastic shows by internationally recognized artists. For example, Francis Ailis, who did a couple of videos in Juarez. Alejandro created a show called Juarez Projects that took those two videos, the drawings and notes that Francis did, and brought them back into the communities where they were made. So every time he has a show, he has eight different spaces that he stops at in different areas of the city, everything from the university to middle schools to concerts and, festivals.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and has thousands and thousands of people coming in and out of that space. So there's a fantastic example of a space that's very unique to Juarez and a space that is connecting local people with really excellent contemporary art.
I mean, where the art comes to you. How
exactly.
Cool is that?
Yeah. In a city as big as Juarez. So.
It's pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. If we have time, I mean, you have a total of 13, but really do make it your mission to go down to the Rubin and to learn about everyone and what they're doing, because you're right. I mean, you even just talking about this, it's like, I want to go see that semi-trailer.
Yeah. And I do want to mention that on May 11th, from 5 to 7:30 in the evening, we're having a reception. It's one of our quarterly Young Professionals events, but it'll also be a reception for each of the artists and organizers that hosted one of the cartography space. So it'll be the first time we get everybody in a room all together. It'll be an opportunity for the public to meet the people behind these spaces. And we hope it's a starting point for future programming and future conversations, both on site here at UTEP, but also in these spaces and with these spaces and other places in the community.
It sounds like you're making that happen already, just by design. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Today, my guest has been Carrie Doyle of the Rubin Center, and we've been talking about cartography, mapping contemporary art at the border. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.